Chapter 11. Worker Relations. Those who would do the best and highest service for Jesus Christ must copy the pattern in all their associations, business deals, and in spiritual things. Positive relations. Respect for one another. We are to respect one another. In times of trial or perplexity, before we speak, let us take time to think, to pray. At such times, it is better to be silent than to utter hasty, unconsidered words. Be still, and know that I am God. Oh, that we might glorify Him here upon earth, and that we might bring light and joy to others. We can help no one by scolding or by harsh words. God is greatly dishonored when some of His own children who are trying to do His work are grieved and injured by unjust words spoken by their brethren. We have none too many consecrated workers, not one, but there are too many who are bound up with self, and these need to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God. Support for one another. In every place where there is any evidence that God is working to advance His own work and His own glory, let men be careful not to repress and discourage, for this is Satan's way of working. There are plenty in the enemy's ranks that will do this kind of work. Let God's people stand shoulder to shoulder, heart to heart, voice with voice, heard in words of encouragement and faith. Those whom God is using are to occupy the position of learners and workers. They are to remember that God has appointed them individually and are to leave God to work upon other minds. They are to leave others free to act according to God's appointment. The will of every man is to be submerged in the will of God. No one is to regard his mind as the only mind that God is controlling. The one who is strong to do the will of God intelligently, who is using his mind in God's service, will just as surely be united with others whom God is using. In what other way could the building of God be completed in all its parts, in perfect fitness and unity? The Lord desires you to link up with your fellow workers. You are not to shut yourself up to yourself. Every day you are to gain a stronger confidence that you are God's appointed agent, not to labor alone, but in union with those who have borne responsibilities. Let all the workers unite in council. You are to have no secret chamber, closed to some who have just as intense an interest in the work as you have. In the past, you have closed the door to these and opened it to some to whom you should have kept silent. The Lord would have you cultivate the spirit of companionship. If you wrap yourself about with garments of self-sufficiency, refusing to admit others into brotherly relationship, you will fail of gaining the experience that you need, and others also will be losers. Let your fellow workers see that you regard them as of value. Confidence in fellow laborers. In our work, we must consider the relation that each worker sustains to the other workers connected with the cause of God. We must remember that others, as well as ourselves, have a work to do in connection with this cause. We must not bar the mind against counsel. In our plans for the carrying forward of the work, our mind must blend with other minds. Let us cherish a spirit of confidence in the wisdom of our brethren. We must be willing to take advice and caution from our fellow laborers. Connected with the service of God, we must individually realize that we are parts of a great whole. We must seek wisdom from God, learning what it means to have a waiting, watching spirit, and to go to our Savior when tired and oppressed. It is a mistake to withdraw from those who do not agree with our ideas. This will not inspire our brethren with confidence in our judgment. It is our duty to counsel with our brethren and to heed their advice. We are to seek their counsel, and when they give it, we are not to cast it away as if they were our enemies. Unless we humble our hearts before God, we shall not know His will. January 16th. God would have you, united in pleasant cords of companionship. As the Lord's workmen, you are to open your plans one to another. These plans must be carefully and prayerfully considered, for the Lord will leave those who do not do this to stumble in their own supposed wisdom and superior greatness. When ministering brethren come together in council, let deference be shown to the expression of intelligent principles. Let intellectual freedom be freely accorded to all. There should be unity and love and freedom in communicating one with another. It should be a pleasure to consult one with another, to compare ideas and to review plans, to meet and write in hearty confidence and Christian fellowship with their ministering brethren. An atmosphere of goodness, confidence, and love should be diffused, for this is the assurance of the presence of the Holy Spirit. The presence of God should be felt, and the soul should be humbled in acknowledging the condescension of these brethren in planning for every soul for whom Christ has died. And thus hearts would be softened and broken. Exercise compassion. God requires us to exercise toward our brethren the compassion which we desire them to exercise toward us. God requires those who claim to believe the Bible, the standard of Christian character, to bring the Christ-likeness into all their service, that not one particle of the salt shall lose its preserving influence. The Christ-likeness is ever to be preserved. The mind and heart are to be cleansed from all sin, all unlikeness to Christ. God has duties for every one in His service, for every church member, to perform. His people are to exalt the power of the law above human judgment. By bringing the entire being, body, soul, and spirit into harmony with the law, they are to establish the law. It is God's desire that discipline and order shall be maintained, but no arbitrary authority is to be shown. Words which show that the heart is filled with the milk of human kindness have a great influence for good. Walk humbly. Among the Lord's servants there is to be no commanding. No yokes are to be placed on the necks of God's blood-bought heritage. Every yoke is to be broken. Take unto you the whole armor of God, and never forget the gospel shoes of peace. Go not to any man with a heavy tread, or with anger in your voice. Let all God's servants, from those occupying the highest positions to those in the lowliest service, walk humbly before Him. Walk humbly with God, esteem others better than yourselves, and study diligently the life of Christ. God will be the counselor of all who with a sincere heart seek to know their duty. Unity of action. When Christ's prayer is fully believed, when its instruction is brought into the daily life of God's people, unity of action will be seen in our ranks. Brother will be bound to brother by the golden bonds of the love of Christ. The Spirit of God alone can bring about this oneness. He who sanctified Himself can sanctify His disciples. United with Him, they will be united with one another in the most holy faith. When we strive for this unity as God desires us to strive for it, it will come to us. December 31st. As workers, we need to counsel together over difficult matters. It is right that brother should consult with brother. And it is our privilege, after we have done this, to bow together in prayer and ask for divine wisdom and counsel. But for one human voice to be a controlling power is a sad mistake, and this should not continue. Words of encouragement. We cannot know how many are the perplexities of our brethren, or how weary and worn they become with the difficulties of the work. I have been instructed that we are to guard carefully every word we utter, that we may not increase the perplexities of those who have to battle constantly with trials and discouragements. Let us not speak evil of these brethren, but let us seek to help them. Not much longer shall we have to battle with the difficulties of this life. It is our privilege to speak words that will encourage our associates and fellow laborers. It is not our privilege to speak words that will depress. It is not wise for us to compare ourselves with other workers, speaking of their failings and raising objections to their methods of labor. It would be no surprise if those who are laboring under grave responsibilities and who have many trials to meet should sometimes make mistakes. We should thank the Lord that we are not called to serve in their place. Their position calls upon them the censure and criticism of those who have educated themselves to find fault. Let us pray for those upon whom the Lord has laid responsibilities, for this is the duty of all God's workers. Care for senior ministers. If I see those in positions of trust neglecting aged ministers, I am to present the matter to those whose duty it is to care for them. Ministers who have faithfully done their work are not to be forgotten or neglected when they have become feeble in health. Our conferences are not to disregard the needs of those who have borne the burdens of the work. January 30th.
Love for the erring. Intimate connection between imperfect, defective characters may often have, as a result, a great harm done to both persons. For Satan has more influence upon their minds than the Spirit of Jesus. They do not consider each other under a true and impartial light, but under the most unfavorable light possible. By trying to correct evil in a hasty, cross spirit, two evils will be created instead of correcting one. Mutual support is essential. It is the fruit of the Spirit which grows upon the Christian tree. If everyone feels free to utter hasty words, we shall have miserable hearts, miserable families, and in the church, discord and dissension. But there is a Christ-like way of settling all these things. The presence of Christ's love in the heart will lead to love the very ones who are astray and who are in the wrong. The absence of that love places the very one who professes the truth on the side of the enemy. He becomes a tempter for others and stirs them up to do wrong. Such a spirit could not remain in heaven. It is necessary to bring into one's life the power of self-control, for a character that did not have this would cause discord in heaven. Patience. To every man, God has given a work to do. This is a solemn thought. Some will be regarded with suspicion by men who cannot discern spiritual things. Criticism will be freely given. But shall this stir up the passion of the human heart? Or will the voice of God's workman be heard in song? Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. The work of the very best of God's laborers will often be commented upon by men who have not a genuine experience in what it means to hide in Christ. Condemnation will be passed upon those who may be trying to do their work faithfully. Then is the time for God's workers to show their gentleness, to hide in the cleft of the rock. God's voice says to them, "Be still and know that I am God." To give way to passion, to pour forth a storm of harsh words, is setting a most objectionable example before the other workers. Such a course will spoil your, Brother Boker, influence and your religious experience. You will gain the name of not knowing how to deal with minds. There is a proper way to correct evils. Take the one apart that you have good reason to think needs words of caution, and speak to him quietly and calmly, as a Christian ought to speak to a fellow being. Never speak in a way that will stir the worst feelings of the heart. Thus you may place it forever beyond your power to help him spiritually. Thus you may lead him to lose confidence in those from whom he should receive light and help. Influence of Christian character. We should never stir up strife by domineering words and actions. Put away everything like hard dealing, and seek for a closer walk with God. I know from the light that God has been pleased to give me that those who have held responsible positions are inclined to feel that they have a right to exercise more authority than their positions justify them to. God will sanction no tyranny, no sharp dictation, for this naturally repels souls, and they are unfavorably affected by the manifestation of this disagreeable spirit, which stirs up the worst passion of the human heart. If men in responsible office do not show partiality, but exercise the patience and kindness of Jesus, they will find this course more effective than the preaching of sermons, the exercise of power, or the presentation of strong argument. The silent influence of Christian character will fall upon men as the sunbeams of heaven. Negative relations. Respect for individuals. For years, appeals have been made to men in responsible positions, urging upon them the necessity of being kind, tender-hearted, and always to deal in a Christ-like manner with those with whom they come in contact. No one has a right to control another's mind and judge for another, prescribing what is his duty. There are certain rights that belong to every individual in doing God's service. No man has any more right to take these rights from us than to take life itself. God has given us freedom to think, and it is our privilege to follow our impressions of duty. We are only human beings, and one human being has no jurisdiction over the conscience of any other human being. You and Emma White belong to the Lord by creation and redemption. Man has no right to take away that which he cannot give. Our bodies, our souls, and our intellect belong to God. His stamp is upon us. God deals with infinite tenderness with his heritage. He is not a tyrant, and no man, whatever may be his position or calling, has a right to be harsh and dictatorial. No one is approved of God in being severe, in bruising the souls of his fellow men. Favoritism. There should be no giving of special favors or attentions to a few, no preferring of one above another. This is displeasing to God. April.
Selfishness. God calls for wholehearted, sympathizing, liberal, unselfish men. Christ's servants are to have his spirit. They are to be lifted far above all littleness and cheapness of thought or action. God calls for nobility of dealing. He will not tolerate selfishness. All heaven is grieved by the management shown in some lines of his work. I am commanded to say that, after sufficient trial, he will remove from his service everyone who schemes to secure the advantage over another. God calls this robbery. Little differences. Little differences dwelt upon lead to actions that destroy Christian fellowship. Let us not allow the enemy thus to gain the advantage over us. Let us keep drawing nearer to God and to one another. Then we shall be as trees of righteousness, planted by the Lord and watered by the river of life. December 31st. The efficiency of the movements for extending the truth depends upon the harmonious action of those who profess to believe it. Love and confidence constitute a moral force that would have united our churches and ensured harmony of action. But coldness and distrust have brought disunion that has shorn us of our strength. Ridicule, cavilling, ridicule, and misrepresentation can be indulged in only at the expense of the debasement of your own souls. The use of such weapons does not gain precious victories for you, but rather cheapens the mind and separates the soul from God. Sacred things are brought down to the level of the common, and a condition of things is created that pleases the Prince of Darkness and grieves away the Spirit of God. Cavilling and criticism leaves the soul as devoid of the dew of grace as the hills of Gilboa were destitute of rain. Confidence cannot be placed in the judgment of those who indulge in ridicule and misrepresentation. No weight can be attached to their advice or resolutions.
You must bear the divine credentials before you make decided movements to shape the working of God's cause. A child may ask questions that experienced minds cannot answer. When a man makes criticism and opposition his stock in trade, he should not be placed in positions of trust. For he is as one who places a stone in front of the carriage wheel to hinder its progress, instead of behind the wheel to keep it from rolling backward. Meddling. By means of one agency, Christ Jesus, God has mysteriously linked all men together. To every man he has assigned some special line of service, and we should be quick to comprehend that we are to guard against leaving the work given us in order that we may interfere with other human agencies who are doing a work not precisely the same as our own. To no man has been assigned the work of interfering with the work of one of his fellow laborers, trying to take it in hand himself, that he would so handle it that he would spoil it. To one, God gives a work different from the work that he gives another. Harsh judgments. In many cases, hard judgment has been measured out when encouragement and commendation should have been given. For the results of the work done have shown that the blessing of God was upon it. Wherever this principle has been brought in, God wants a change to be made, for it is contrary to his plan. When man's mind is allowed to become the controlling power, both parties are injured. The one who allows himself to be conscience for another, and the one who permits himself to be controlled by human wisdom. Do not treat the workers as if you, Brother Boker, could not trust them. Never treat those with whom you work as unfaithful, unless you have unmistakable evidence that they are unfaithful. And even when a worker's unfaithfulness is clearly proved, you are not to deal with him in a manner that will give him excuse for saying, "You were harsh." You are to do nothing that will provoke the erring to anger. Do not bear down on believers or unbelievers in a way that arouses the worst feelings of the heart. Do not make charges that may be cruelly unjust. By such a course, you may drive souls to perdition. Hatred. The losing of the first love is specified as a moral fall. The loss of this love is represented as something that will affect the entire religious life. Of those who have lost this love, God says that unless they repent, he will come to them and remove their candlestick out of its place. Hatred of their brethren, if entertained and not repented of, will make men blind. Those who cherish this hatred are ready to catch at words and actions and interpret them as injustice against themselves. Unless they repent, the Lord will come unto them quickly and will remove their candlestick out of its place.
Criticism. God chooses his servants to do his will and places them in positions of responsibility. But when one in such a position loses his first love, he loses his faith in his brethren and can see nothing valuable in their work. Their every act is regarded with suspicion and distrust. God is dishonored, and the truth is trampled in the dust. God's servants are made to appear in the worst light, when in reality they are working under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Let not fellow soldiers be severe, unreasonable judges of their comrades, and make the most of every defect. Let them not manifest satanic attributes in becoming accusers of the brethren. We shall find ourselves misrepresented and falsified by the world while we are maintaining the truth and vindicating God's downtrodden law. But let no one dishonor the cause of God by making public some mistake that the soldiers of Christ may make when that mistake is seen and corrected by the ones who have taken some false position. When a brother who has made a mistake sees his error and corrects it, is it not an indication that he may be trusted not to take a similar false step? Shall his brethren lay open his blunder and make it appear in as grave a light as possible before his comrades and before warring enemy? God will charge those who unwisely expose the mistakes of their brethren with sin of far greater magnitude than he will charge the one who makes a misstep.
Criticism and condemnation of the brethren are counted as criticism and condemnation of Christ. Danger of dictatorial control. God has not given men power over the church or over individuals. He has not given them power to treat the subjects of his kingdom as their perverse tempers shall dictate. Christ will not sustain any man, whatever may be his office, who exalts himself as superior, when by his actions he makes himself in the sight of God inferior. Oh, it is the saddest sight in the world to see men and women who have not enough of the grace of God to control themselves, seeking to control others. The work of God must be done in gentleness and true courtesy. Oh, how much out of place are pride, selfishness, covetousness, and dishonesty. The Lord will punish those who lift themselves up in haughtiness and self-sufficiency, who refuse to show love and compassion for their brethren, or to encourage them in any way. These self-sufficient ones are the cause of the dearth in the church of the prosperity and success given by the Holy Spirit. General Conference President to set example. You, Butler, refer to your office as President of the General Conference, as if this justifies your course of action, which you deemed wholly right, but which, from the light the Lord has been pleased to give me, I deem to be wrong in some respects. The very fact that you are standing in a position of responsibility, I urge upon you as the reason why you should show a forbearing, courteous, Christ-like spirit at all times and under all circumstances. Your brethren in the ministry, who respect you and your office, will be very apt to follow your example in the treatment of such cases. You are to be an example to your brethren, worthy of imitation. Your words, your spirit, your deportment, even the manner in which you treat your brethren, are sowing seeds for good or evil. It is both your privilege and duty, especially in your position of trust, to be like-minded with God. Then you will be strong in his strength, and meek and humble as a little child. Cling close to your Bible, for its sacred truths can purify, ennoble, and sanctify the soul. You must hold the truth and teach it as it is in Jesus, else it is of no value to you. Before the light of God's truth, let human opinions and ideas and human wisdom appear as they are in the sight of God, as foolishness. Let no man feel that his position as president either of the General Conference or of a state conference clothes him with a power over the consciences of others that is the least degree oppressive, for God will not sanction anything of this kind. He must respect the rights of all, and all the more because he is in a position where others will pattern after him. Your position binds you under the most sacred obligations to be very careful what kind of a spirit you entertain towards your brethren. They are acting a part in God's cause as well as yourself. Will not God teach them and guide them as well as yourself? You are not even to allow yourself to think unkindly of them, much less to climb upon the judgment seat and censure or condemn your brethren, when you may be yourself, in many respects, more deserving of censure than they. Your work is bearing the inspection of God. Majoring in minors. Those who are accepted as workers together with God are under the tutorship of God. He is just as willing and ready to lead and teach them as he is to lead those who feel like laying out the work for his workers in precise lines. This manner of action is not after God's order and is aside from his plan, leading the workers to weakness and inefficiency. This burden has been gathered to the soul, but it has not been given to men by God. The teacher said, "While you are so earnest to call to mind the details, the time that is of so great value has been consumed, and the prayer that was so necessary for invoking the presence of God to preside in your councils has been neglected, and the minds of the workers have been called to dwell upon non-essentials which should have been left for workers in the field to plan for themselves.
for they understand the situation and circumstances and have reasoning powers to know what is necessary for the success of their labors. Many things that are too important to be set aside have been lightly dwelt upon, and many things that are of little consequence have been largely dwelt upon, when there is no reason why men should dictate concerning the matters they have laid out in detail. Let men leave the work for the worker to do with an eye single to the glory of God. God may see that it is necessary to release every president of his charge who does not understand what is comprehended in his special work. He who mistakes his duties is in danger of working at cross purposes with God and of imperiling the souls of his fellow workers as well as his own soul, because he does not recognize the fact that his fellow laborers are to be linked up with him. Christ said, "All ye are brethren." The position of president gives to no man liberty to be voice and conscience for his brethren, to leave some out of his confidence and to take some into his counsel who he is sure will voice his words and plans. He is to embrace those to whom God has committed sacred trusts according to their several ability. One man may present a plan, and another may discern a fault in the plan, while still another may suggest another plan which needs to be fairly considered. But the details that have been laid out for those to follow who are laboring in the field are such as to make them blush with indignation, for they are of such a character as to suggest that they are not worthy to be trusted, when God regards them with love and tenderness, and has committed to them his goods in endowments and talents to be improved. The communication is open between God and their souls, for they are workers together with God. Your prescribed rules concerning details are not inspired of God. You have wearied minds that were already worn by causing them to dwell upon these matters, when more important matters were to be considered by all interested workers. That which pertains to the growth and advancement of the work has had to give place to these non-essential things. God never designed that one man's mind and judgment should have a controlling power over his heavenly appointed agencies or over any class or organization. Dangers of micromanagement. Men, fallible men, are not to think it is their prerogative to control, to mark out, or to prescribe the labors of their fellow men. When God works upon the human instrumentality, let men be very careful how they intermeddle, for in its process the work of God is divine. The work of God has often been hindered by men considering that they had power to say, "Go here or go there, do this or do that," without consulting the individual himself, or respecting his convictions as a laborer together with God. God has promised his presence to every believer, and let those who are in positions of authority, presidents of conferences and board councils, and everyone who has to do with the human mind, respect the individuality of mind and conscience. These workers are in co-partnership with Jesus Christ, and you and Emma White may interpose yourself so as to interfere with God's plans, for the human agent is under his special authority and dictation. God would have all such confederacies broken to atoms and remodeled upon Christ-like principles. The foundation stone must be mercy. Human minds are not to be trammeled and harnessed and driven by human hands. We must ask the Holy Spirit's guidance and expect to be led and controlled by it. The church organization is to be respected, but it is not to be made in any way a galling yoke. Men are not to assume the prerogative of God and think to rule and coerce and oppress the souls of God's purchased possession. All heaven is indignant at what men, with complacency, will do to their fellow men, claiming at the same time to be representatives of Jesus Christ.
Men in official position must realize that their position gives them no license to be unkind or uncourteous, no license to be oppressive, and to let their tongues, which should be sanctified, speak words which will open a door of temptation and help the great adversary in his work of discouraging souls.
God has given us a work to do in saving souls from the companionship of Satan. If it were possible, the enemy would clog the wheels of progress and prevent the truths of the gospel from being circulated everywhere. With this object, he leads men to feel that it is their privilege to control the consciences of their fellow men according to their own perverted ideas. They dismiss the Holy Spirit from their councils, and then, under the power and name of the General Conference, they invent regulations through which they compel men to be ruled by their own ideas and not by the Holy Spirit. It is seldom that the man who thinks he can be experience for another has a safe experience for himself, for he fails of forming a correct estimate of the character he should develop. Just as soon as a man who is placed in a responsible position supposes that he is to define the duty of his fellow men, and that the workers must obey his word without question, he proves that he is not worthy of his office. Such a man does not understand his own heart. We had far better have in our conference humble men whom God can accept and teach his way. God has given to every man his work, and this responsibility will not be taken from any soul. Neither will it be given to another to tell him what that work is. The oppression of fellow workers, covetousness and selfishness, are blinding men, so that they unwittingly make decrees that deprive men of their rights, and pass judgment on matters that cut them off from their privileges. In so doing, they are as verily using oppressing as are the powers of the world in restricting religious liberty. Though their power is limited, yet they are actuated by the same spirit which rules the children of disobedience. They make decisions that repress individual action, and God frowns upon their decrees, methods, and laws that bind those whom God would have free to use the power he has given them as a precious endowment. Let those at the heart of the work see that they are clear from the practice of oppression. Let there be no lording it over God's heritage. Let no man, or body of men, imagine that they have the prerogative of lording it over God's people. Every time you have made it necessary for men to come to your terms, and have so bound them that they could not do otherwise than to concede to your wishes, you have exercised a power which God has not permitted one man to exercise over another. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Has Christ given himself for the rescue of man, in order that man may be placed under human bondage? There must be a decided change in the policy of action that has been followed. God has singled out many that he would employ in his work, but there is no chance for them to come in as yet. The sentiments of men who are in positions of trust must change, and the counsel of God be heeded, or they will not have the honor of being his instruments, nor will they receive the reward that is promised to his faithful stewards. The spirit of domination is extending to the presidents of our conferences. If a man is sanguine of his own powers, and seeks to exercise dominion over his brethren, feeling that he is invested with authority to make his will the ruling power, the best and only safe course is to remove him, lest great harm be done, and he lose his own soul and imperil the souls of others. All ye are brethren. This disposition to lord it over God's heritage will cause a reaction, unless these men change their course. Those in authority should manifest the Spirit of Christ. They should deal as he would deal, with every case that requires attention. They should go weighted with the Holy Spirit. A man's position does not make him one jot or tittle greater in the sight of God. It is character alone that God values. A snare of Satan. The device to place man under the ruling of his fellow man is a snare of Satan to divorce men from God. And it has resulted in a sad departure from the Lord, and the working out of a cheap experience. The men who have made such plans have revealed that they are defective in Christian experience. Their short-sighted judgment has resulted in leading souls away from the path to holiness and perfection. Unless they are truly converted, unless lips and mind and heart are sanctified to God, they will hear in the day of final reckoning the words, "Depart. You cannot have the overcomer's reward."
So long as self-sufficiency and self-exaltation have a place in the heart, there will be a low standard of character and an inability to reach the high standard that God sets before his people. The man ruling power that has been coming into our ranks has no sanction in the word. Satan has stolen in to lead men to depend on men and to make flesh their arm. I am instructed to say, "Break every yoke that human invention has framed, and heed the voice of Christ, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Sound management principles needed. Did the Lord counsel you, Olson, to devise the various means to work and control human minds? No, I tell you, no. The case of Elder Littlejohn has been strangely mismanaged. He has appealed to me to set things rights, but I have done nothing about it. It was not the time. Your course in the treatment of him was all wrong. It bears the signature of the adversary of souls. Your treatment of Frank Belden in his work was not right. It is strange fire, not the fire of God's kindling. This kind of management must come to an end, else God will work in a way that will not be pleasing to those who have done this work. These men have not been right. They needed judicious management, but those who tried to manage them needed themselves to be managed. Did your devising in regard to the gospel primer meet the approval of God? No. The principle upon which you acted was wrong. Individual service is to be rendered to God, not to be controlled by one man or by any set of men. Movements have been made which mean much in their outworking. An example has been given by men who are serving where they should not be, which is leavening your conferences. The presidents of conferences are being imbued with a spirit to rule, to require men to bow to their judgment. If any refuse, the course pursued toward them is such as to fill heaven with indignation. How can God move upon the churches to contribute their hard-earned means to be handled by men who are self-sufficient, selfish, and so arrogant and overbearing that the frown of God is upon them? Our institutions need cleansing as did the temple when Christ was upon the earth. Man lords it over men's consciences. Man dictates to his fellow men as God. Everywhere throughout the field, this spirit is leavening hearts with the same narrow and selfish purposes. Reaction must come, and who shall then set things in order? Repeating past mistakes? Those who take hold of the work at this time are not to repeat the mistakes that have been made in the past, when men have sought to control and rule their fellow workers. God forbids that this spirit shall come into his work. Another message than this is to be borne. Those who have felt a burden to place yokes on the necks of their brethren, who desired to labor, are called upon to repent and be converted.